Okay, we've got some everyday shoes we are going to show this morning. Anybody else be brave? Need maybe another two people like to take their shoes off this morning? It's going to really help us get in the Word of God. Okay, mums are all for it. Fantastic. It'd be good if I could sort of have them the other side so I can reach them. Is that okay? I know. See, this is stage management. We will get there. Fantastic. On the rack. Let's get them on the rack. That's it. Squeeze them up here and we'll get the... Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Let's get them in. Pop them in somewhere. There we go. Let's get them in. Let's bring my water. Can I carry them and my water? Maybe. Fantastic. Okay. Where's the table gone? A little too far. I don't think my arm's... I'm not Mr. Tickle. I can't reach that far. Thank you, Jake. Whoa! See, okay, I'm gonna get others to sort that out. Fantastic. We will take care of your shoes. I'm really sorry. Okay, so let's get started while they. Or does it need the owners to put it back together? Is it a bit? It would be more fun to watch them. Okay, Lucy's on her way up. Fantastic. This is going to be a bit of a distraction now to the Word of God, isn't it? Can people put this together? Oh, did we load it down with too many shoes? We can always put some around there, can't we? You get the idea, but I want you to see it. For me, it really helps to have a prop, to have something you can see. So when you're trying to remember, you go, yes, the shoe sermon. Got it. And it helps me, so maybe it will help you this morning. So this is week 3 of the Blinded series. And this morning we are looking at how do we forgive. And the title of my sermon is In Someone Else's Shoes. Hence the prop, okay? Or props of these wonderful everyday shoes that you have shared with us this morning. Okay, now I was really inspired by Steve's opening to his sermon when he opened this series. He shared with you a sight story. And I just got thinking about it. I thought, actually, if as speakers we have sight stories, maybe God's saying something in that. I have a little sweet sight story, which I am going to share with you. So if I can have the first slide up. This is me looking slightly younger than I do now. I was about 19 there. And that's Fiona and I at Spring Harvest, actually, in one of their caravans. And I worked for the Bank of England at the time, and most of my job was on computer screens. And, you know, I was starting to find it difficult to see properly. Never, ever had a sight problem before, okay? So I went to the opticians and had a test, and they said, "You're short-sighted." And they said, by the sounds of your job and what you're doing, things have got aggravated and you've got it a lot earlier than you should have. So I needed glasses. So there is me with my pair of glasses that I needed to do most things for driving, obviously with the computer, being able to see signs clearly, things like that. My world, all of a sudden, could see things that I couldn't before. Let's go to the next two slides. You can have a little bit of R and ooh on this one if you like. So I gave up working at the Bank of England in my sort of early 20s and got married. And I was working for Nathan at Teens in Crisis there and not really on computers as much anymore. And then I had Bethany. So that's Bethany at her dedication, that one there, and the other one was in Nan's garden. But I wanted to show this because apparently, bit of a miracle here, after I'd had Bethany and I'd gone for a checkup, they said, "Your eyesight is perfect. You are not short-sighted." I'm like, "Oh, what's going on?" Maybe that's a bit of God's blessing there. But they said sometimes in your body, hormones can change things, and you can now see perfectly. You do not need your glasses. When you're older, I am older now, you will become short-sighted. Interestingly, I only need glasses for reading, to see small things. I don't need them for driving or anything like that yet, praise God. So actually, compared to when I was 19, I can see a lot better. And so those are just some pictures just to sort of say, actually, after Bethany, I could see. And you know what? I think all of us fall into that thing of getting short-sighted in our lives. It's a lovely, pretty little analogy, maybe, but there's some real truths there. And if we have been offended, or if we are hurt, we can become very short-sighted. We can believe that whatever our situation is, can we really forgive in this? And the pain can sometimes mask actually what the clear, I suppose, that clarity is. So that's what I just want us to bring in right at the beginning here. I'm going to do a quick recap for the last 2 weeks. I don't know, hopefully you've all caught up with where we are on the series or on the internet. But I think we know, as Christians, we got to forgive. It's just, it's kind of a bit of a black and white one. It's not negotiable, really. You can't get around it. God forgives. We got to forgive. And that's sort of being the message with grace and everything else. But it's right the way through the Bible. No matter what book you pick up, what you look at, forgiveness is all the way through it. Christianity is Jesus. Jesus is forgiveness. He came to forgive so you could be reconciled to the Father. He is forgiveness. So if we could put up some verses. I mean, there are so many verses you could choose in the Bible because God has forgiven us. He has come. He has shown his love. So there's just a few verses here. I'm not necessarily going to read them all out, but for those of you listening online, we've got 1 John 1:9. We've got Acts 3:19 and Ephesians 1:7. Look at that last verse. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We've been singing about God's forgiveness this morning. He forgives. Okay, hallelujah. So the next slide has just got some verses on it to remind us that we are meant to forgive. We've got Ephesians 4:32, and then we've got in the middle of the Lord's Prayer there, Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Told you it's a little black and white. So it's there. Doesn't mean it's easy, but it's there. And that's kind of what we've been looking at the last few weeks. So the next slide has got the verses that we've looked at already this morning. And they're the verses that I want to use. And I'm just going to go back one or two verses. Sorry, I know it's different to my slide there. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, he loves us. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So I want us to look at that. I believe those verses tell us how to forgive somebody. It may not be that straightforward by looking at them, but I just want to use those this morning. If any of you remember that lovely clothes rail we had here last year with the clothes on, put on? I spoke on this. And what were the shoes? Bear with. They were the shoes. So it kind of fits. If you want to go back, it's online. You can go back and listen to that sermon. But I do believe that it's good for us to look into God's words like this and how do we apply it. So we're going to really go through that this morning. So I have been talking about God's word, the Bible. The Bible is there to help us. It tells us to forgive. You may not believe that. Maybe you don't believe everything that's in the Bible. Maybe you do and you practice forgiveness, but you're not sure whether you can forgive in certain situations. And I think sometimes it's good to think, well, what does the world think? What are the answers are they producing? Does God know what he's talking about? So I came across this article called Forgiveness, Your Health Depends on It. I'll bring up some of the little bits from there now. It says this. Whether it's a simple spat with your spouse or a long-held resentment towards a family member or friend, unresolved conflict can go deeper than you may realise. It may be affecting your physical health. The good news. Studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards for your health, lowering the risk of heart attack, improving cholesterol levels and sleep, and reducing pain, blood pressure, and levels of anxiety, depression, and stress. Studies have also found that people who hang on to grudges, however, are more likely to experience severe depression and post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as other health conditions. Do you know, I think God knows what is good for us. He knows us so well. And no matter what beliefs we might have or where we quite fall on things, if we still think it's black and white, we need to forgive. It's actually good for us. And sometimes we don't always process that. So we know that we need to, but how? I just want to say, if we can bring up the slide with the everyday shoes on, I didn't ask today for pretty shoes. Lovely, lovely, best shoes. You know, when you're going out somewhere a bit posh, maybe, or somewhere nice. Everyday shoes, and I want to look at everyday forgiveness, because I want to look at those situations in your home, with your family, maybe when you're with friends, with work colleagues, those kinds of things. When the everyday things, it might not have been big, but it hurt. And something has happened. Or something's been annoying and is built up into actually an offence. I'm not necessarily going to talk through what happens, and we all go through this, when a big trauma might come along in our lives. Because sometimes that will need some other interventions as well. But I believe that if we've got the foundations on how to forgive well, we will be set up from when those big things come along. The first thing I think to understand, and I love those words, the bear with words in those verses, they say so much about give me time, will you be patient? I need to go through this, I need to take some time. And I think as Christians we think, oh, got to forgive, okay, that's it. Next day, I forgive you. By Friday, we're having coffee. Next week, we're planning a holiday together. And you think, I've got to stuff down everything else because I know I've got to do it. And that's not reality. We need to bear with. It is a process. The whole thing is a process. And you know, each offense will take a different length of time. It really will. It's not got a quantity in it that you can hold on to and say, okay, I do, and if you've been to talk to me about things, I say, okay, give yourself 24 hours. And sometimes you just need a day, just to even understand what happened. You may be confused, you may be in shock, maybe 48 hours. I think the longest has been a week. But, you know, you've got to give yourself that bear with, okay? Then you do have to make that decision. It's an intellectual one. And I know John spoke about this, that will to forgive. Make that decision to forgive them. It doesn't mean that your emotions may not be running high, but make that decision to forgive them. Can I give you some advice? One of the reasons it's good to have that 24, 48-hour thing is if you want to try and communicate early to somebody that they're forgiven, you might be tempted to put some other words in as well. And it's not good here. It's tempting. Oh, you see what I look on your face. Well, you just pop in there, actually, how offended you are. And do you know what can happen? Sometimes you end up being worse than the original offence, and it starts a hurt going back and forth. However, communicate that that person is forgiven is important, because I can tell you now, there's nothing worse after about a week of silence. You imagine all sorts, and you're going to make your offender go through paranoia and all sorts of things, looking at somebody wrong, what was that, don't know. It just don't even go there. This isn't about you not hurting still, but it's making that decision to forgive. Because isn't it in black and white there? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And you know what? Time is what you need then to heal. I always think it's funny, isn't it? Because you just think, yeah, I've made that decision. I go around with a lovely smile on my face. And there's lots of pain inside. And I'm just going to try and keep it there because they won't think I'm a very good Christian, will they? If I'm not smiling and forgiven and all the rest of it. Do you know, if I've hurt my arm, I've hurt it. I haven't broken it, but it is a bit hurt. It's sore. Maybe there's something going on there. I can't drive. I can't write very well. Well, I have to rest it for a few days. I need to pop it up, give it time to heal. Well, it's the same inside, but people just can't see it. And we have got to allow God to work in us instead of rushing through these things thinking just because we know all this doesn't mean it happens like that. It's a process, and it allows God to actually come in and do some proper healing. You know, many of us, I know, because I've spoken to many of you on these sorts of topics, know exactly what to do, and you've been through this lots of times. You know you need to forgive, you know you need some time, and then you hit a wall. I have a lovely picture here for my wall. Can we bring up the wall map? It's an invisible wall. It's not a brick wall, by the way. There's an invisible wall there between those two people. You can't see it, but they know it's there. And it's like this. This is this lovely protective wall. You all know what I'm talking about. And actually, when you're hurting, you need that wall initially. It just gives you that little bit of, yeah, it's a nice little bit of protection there. You're just going to keep you nice and safe. And then you've made that decision to forgive. You've given yourself time. You want to forgive that person. You don't really have a problem with that person. But every time you go near a situation that maybe is about that person, it's like, oh, I can't go any further. What's going on there? I want to be with that group of people. No. Phone call. Oh, no, I can't come. And all of a sudden, we have a block. I'm going to share a little story about myself going through this that may help. It was, again, one of those everyday things. So I'm not talking about a big thing, but just an everyday thing where actually it was one of those moments where I actually visibly showed I was hurt. I was so shocked by this person saying what they said, I just burst into tears. So it was one of those sort of, oh, and it rocked me to the core straight away. And you couldn't ask for anything to have gone better. That person was very upset that they'd upset me. Lots of sorries, cards later in the week as well. You know, everything. It was all sorry, you know. Oh, and a poor, you know, person was more upset than I was, I think. So in that sense, that was fine. But I had to still go through this process because I was hurt. And I knew that those words had come from somewhere quite deep. And so I knew that I wasn't going to get over it very quickly. So I made that decision to forgive, gave it some time, and then there was the wall. Oh, this wall stopped me from doing so many things. And I was saying to God, why is that? I don't have an issue. I am fine with this person. And you know what I felt God say to me? Pray. Pray for her. Can we bring up the verse? Matthew 5, verse 44. Pray for those who persecute you. How do I pray for her? It wasn't that easy. I thought it would be, but it wasn't. And you know what I felt him say? Take off what you are wearing, the way that you see your life, and get into her shoes, her everyday shoes. These are some everyday shoes. You know what? Sometimes we just see it from our point of view. Get out, so take them off. Put on. How does she see life? Why? Maybe did she say what she said? It's a really powerful thing. I have used this for so many things, and it has helped me get through many situations. You see what their family's life is like. Maybe what they deal with every day. Maybe the difficulties that that person has in their life. And it all of a sudden starts to release snippets about them and who they are. Now, obviously, you don't say, can I have your shoes for a week? It'll really help me out. But what it's a symbol of what it's like to walk in somebody else's place, to see things from their perspective. Which is why I wanted these everyday shoes. So you can imagine picking up a pair of shoes, putting them on. Maybe it is somebody who's offended you. And you know what happens? Compassion gets released. Real compassion. God's compassion just comes tumbling through in a wonderful, wonderful way that I can tell you is just spiritual, because you don't know, you haven't experienced anything like it until you start praying. Pray for your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. That goes against what the world would say about vengeance. This is the opposite. This is Jesus' talk. This is his word. For those who have done a grievance against you, it says, forgive as I have forgiven you. But it means deep forgiveness. This might help you. Have you ever thought about putting on your husband's shoes or your children's shoes? Now that sounds quite close and personal. You thought, well, we're just talking for people over there that are maybe a colleague or something. But this helps us to get right into the everyday. Oh, you know the men are from Mars and the women from Venus. If you put their shoes on, oh, that's how you heard me say it. Helps me anyway. I was like, why has Steve said that? I put on it. Oh, okay, he heard that. Right, yes, I get the language thing between the sexes. And we laugh, but actually it's true. Compassion gets released. Go back to my story. So I was praying for this person, and those bits of her life came, and I was full of compassion. Can we bring up the next slide, please? You know, as I was going through that process of praying, that was for the shoe bit there. You can have a look at those shoes. Some of those are far too posh for every day, don't you think? But hey, that was the only ones I could find of a group of shoes. But if we could bring up the hymn, Your Grace is Enough. We were singing this in church. Just have a look at those words there. Freely you gave it all for us, surrendered your life upon that cross. Great is the love poured out for us all. This is our God. Your grace is enough. It is more than I need. At your word I will believe. I wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new. And as we were singing that, my eyes fell on this person and I could feel the wall go down. Something broke deep inside me. And I realized the compassion and all that God had done for me. How could I not forgive? Forgive because the Lord forgave you. Look what he's done for you. How can we not? Even though I thought I had. But there's something that sometimes has to take place, and it's called spiritual forgiveness. What are those end bits about having perfect unity and everything? We can't achieve that. We're human. We're amazingly flawed, I'm sorry to say. We are. But if we're clothing ourselves with all the things that we talked about, if we're God's chosen people, if we have the righteousness of Christ, and his love is perfect, and it does bring peace and unity. And you know what? Satan has a field day if you've got your wall up. And some people keep walls up for years. A wall is fine for a week or so, but not forever. He'll keep you away then from all the things you'd like to be involved in, because you can't go because of your wall. Oh, and if you're separated from people, what happens? Bits of paranoia. Oh, they looked at me funny. Oh, that's it. Now the whole group of people are on that side and I'm away. You are cut off from those things. Don't allow Satan to come in and get a foothold in this, because if he can destroy relationships, then he will. And I think it's really important to know that that is the way you are completely free. You are free to do what you want, go where you want to, where God will take you. That's about being completely free in him and taking on his grace in that way. I think it's really important to say, and I know it's been said in some of the other sermons, but this doesn't make, I'll use maybe my story, me and this person best of friends. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that I don't have to exercise wisdom when it comes to trust or excuse bad behavior. Going through this process doesn't make us a doormat to people who are being actually unkind. And I think that's really important to stress. But do you know what it does do? It brings God's grace and compassion into a situation. So getting into somebody else's shoes has really helped me. But again, it doesn't excuse unkindness. What it can do is, oh, maybe that was why. Maybe that's why they took it that way. Oh, I see. And God will use that to bring his spirit into you and show you deep compassion for that person. I'm going to show you a little clip now. I don't know whether we need lights off or anything. It's a very short YouTube clip, but it just shows about what it's like to look at other people's lives through their shoes. it brings compassion. Looking into other people's lives, getting that bit of perspective that maybe we sometimes need, because we can go around so short-sighted in these kind of situations. But just to be able to see clearly, if we get ourselves in other people's situations, and a shoe might help you remind yourself of that and to pray for them, then it brings compassion. For those that had no shoes, actually he gave his shoes away, because that's what it brought. So Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. We need to bear with each other. Forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So remember, forgiveness is a process. Put that last slide on. Make the decision to forgive. And if you can communicate it soon, then great. But we do need to give ourselves time to get over pain and hurt. Put yourselves in their shoes and pray for them. Continue to remind yourself of how God has forgiven you. And then allow the Holy Spirit to work in you to be completely free in God.